IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion, discussing the concept of Al-Quds Day, are two important guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Yasser Ibrahim and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thanks for inviting.
And Brother Yasser Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you for that.
So, Al-Quds Day, the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, which was named, by the late Imam Khomeini, after the Islamic Revolution of Iran took place in Iran, but this concept nowadays can be witnessed all around the world. And it is mostly juxtaposed with a kind of resistance movement, which has started from Palestine against the Zionism, but now it could be called the general topic or general concept against imperialism and colonialism all around the world. And alhamdulillah, it is not limited only to Al-Quds Day or the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. This sense of defending the rights of the Palestinians, could be seen on the footage and the coverage of the media, especially from the Muslim lands all around the world during the year, all the days of the year. But the case is that how a Muslim could be neglectful of the rights of another Muslim. I mean, even in the religion of Islam, if then we can say that mazlum or mustaz'af is a Christian one or a Jew one, the Islam, has the right in order to defend him, and has beautiful statements from Prophet Muhammad and the Shia infallible Imams on supporting them. But the case is that nowadays we are living in a world that said the money is everything for the politicians. And these kings, they are called kings. The kings of the Arab lands, they have this aristocrat lifestyle. They are the kings. The kings cannot think about the oppressed ones because they are the king, okay? They are not the truthful muttaqi leader, as you said, Sayyid Mohsen. Now, how to promote this concept during all other days of a life? What should we do? I mean, for example, Quds Day could be limited only to Friday. Demonstrations and the rallies are done around the world, the footage and the coverage, the media coverage, and then done. What about other activities that we can do during all days of the year in order to keep it alive inside the Muslim Ummah?
Obviously, the first thing that we can do is be updated with the news, what's happening in the world. One of the unfortunate things is that the people are away from the news that is happening in the world. We more get involved in, the comments on the pictures on the Facebook or maybe Instagram and other things. Obviously, yes. Social media has its own role. And maybe spending the whole year, most of the time when we are free watching movies or like spending time with the friends. Yes. But the main thing is we should know about what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. Because the things that are happening to the others can also happen to us.
Okay.
It can happen with us. So we need to be... We need to get the knowledge about the things, about the current affairs.
Yes.
This is very important because a Muslim is a one who knows about everything. And the concept of the Friday even, the Friday prayer, is that the Imam of the Jum'ah or Jama'ah, when he comes,
yes,
there is a sermon which he specifies about the taqwa,
yes,
the God-fearing and how to get closer, yes, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is a political sermon.
Yes.
That he has to talk about what's going on in the place where he's living,
yes,
in the town, and then in the country, and then at
the issues of the Muslim lands.
But
unfortunately, we do not see that in some of the Friday sermons, of the key holders of Kaaba around the world. They talk about anything, but not this point.
And if you see that even in the narrations, and the one who delivers the lecture, like the sermon, on the Friday,
yes,
he's holding a weapon.
Yeah.
Either a sword
show,
or
yes,
a weapon or anything, or maybe a stick. Why? Because this is the sunnah of the Prophet,
yes,
that the Friday sermon is the sermon in which we are talking about the issues of the, the oppressed ones,
yes,
and the oppressors and how to save and what to do. So
But that weapon in the hand of that Imam, I think, very much signifies the killing of the young people, you know, and executing them, brother. You know, the case is that I think, the religion for some of the kings of the Muslim lands is very much limited to only Salat and so on. No, and because, reading out the Quran. Yes. But when you got to the socio-political and the cultural scene, you know, and the defense of the rights of the Mazlumin and Mustazafin all around the world, it's absolutely forgotten.
You know, one more thing which we need to basically focus on, and this is important, that when we look at these kings that you're referring, or the crown prince,
yes,
we are you're referring to them, or maybe the president or prime minister of the Muslim countries,
yes.
Like, you know, we know generally,
yes.
Most of them, when you look at them, just look from where they qualified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the political leaders, when you look at their CV, their educational history, just look where they qualified. Either they have qualified from Cambridge or Oxford, or they were in Harvard, or, you know, the universities that are in the West. So they are not going to be patriot. You know, they're not going to think about their own country. They will be serving the policies and the goals of the Western world where they qualified.
Yes.
And they have trained them in a way and then they plotted them. Obviously, these are the issues that we have. You know, if I think that I am backward, you know, that's another issue. That the Muslim Ummah has this thinking which was changed by Imam Khomeini. And he changed this thought in the Islamic Republic of Iran that we are not backwards. It's the one who does not know from where he came,
yes.
Where he's living, where he will go.
Okay.
We know this. And therefore, we see that the Iranian, like they advanced in the technology, in the you know, the defense.
Yes.
They advanced in the medical sciences. Why is it so? Because this mentality which was injected into the Muslim Ummah that you're backward,
yes.
You're not advanced.
Yes.
So this thinking was changed. But when you go to the Arab countries, when you go to the other Muslim countries, they say, oh man, they are the developed ones. No. We have to follow them. We have to follow their Catholic civilization. Yeah, civilization, yes. Culture. Even in yes. The schools that we have, they prefer to send their kids, like general people in the Muslim countries, where they have the, you know, the syllabus of the Oxford and Cambridge.
That's
and
right.
When you look at the syllabus of Oxford and Cambridge, the philosophy behind it, it is, you know, pursuing some goals which were set by them to change people towards...
You know, Said Mohsen, in this, you're talking now about the secularism. You know, in this secular capitalist, you know, imperialist world, the people are only thinking about themselves. How to fill their bank account with the money.
This is injected from somewhere. This has come from there.
Unfortunately, they are equipped with the oil, with the petrol money. When the petrol money is in their pocket and the policies come from the Western ones, there is no room now for Mustazafin, brother. And the gap is becoming bigger and bigger every day, I think.
So therefore, our responsibility is, you know, it's heavier, it's high. We must perform our responsibility as a person who appears on the social media, or if we have access to that, we need to aware people.
Yes.
Those who are preachers or ulama, they must aware people. You know, these things are happening, and that's why we see that even the protests that we have on the day of Quds, it's getting bigger and bigger in number.
Yes.
It's the people who are participating in it. They are like, you know, the number of people is becoming bigger and bigger. Like you can see the protest that was happening maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago in London. And now you see how many people are there. We can see like the protests that are happening in New York, in other places, you know, on the day of Quds, it means that, you know, even from this side, people are doing their job. And it is not just like, you know, if we just look at the, you know, rulers of the Muslim country, obviously we have a negative. We will see the negativity only.
And alhamdulillah, there are so many justice seekers, truth seekers from all around the world. You know, for example, this famous doctor, Dr. Trond Ali Lindstad, you know, the Norwegian, you know, a doctor who was given the national trophy. You know, the national trophy of patriotism, but unfortunately, he was banned from being given because the Israeli lobbies inside Norway has blocked the whole ceremony, and he was not given. He's always present with the in the Palestine, helping the injured people, and so many other people, you know, who are Christians, who are not even Muslims, but has understood the significance of this land and this humanitarian you know, I mean, catastrophe that is taking place in Yemen, in Palestine, in Syria, Iraq, but unfortunately some of the kings not. Okay, Brother Yasser Ibrahim, your final remarks.
One of the issues that we didn't speak about, I'll just quickly mention it, was BDS. And I think one of the things is, how do we, other than quotes, quotes obviously is a show of support, physical support.
Yes.
But BDS of boycott, disinvestment and sanctions, yes, is another completely different thing that, as you mentioned, can be done throughout the year.
Yes.
It's not just one thing, you know, putting pressure on certain companies, putting pressure or not buying, you know, products of certain companies. Right, yeah. You know, there's always this list that goes out and stuff, right? So, for example, you know, as a Muslim, at least, you know, I remember some people would ask, you know, but, you know, so many other people throughout the world buy it and so on. I said, but at the end of the day, that person will not be asked about whether or not that person bought it or not. You will be asked, did you buy it or not? You don't have to worry about whether that person bought it or not. I may not have a great economic impact individually on a particular thing, but it's a start.
Yes.
You know, one person, two people, three people. I mean, right now the BDS movement is under extreme pressure from the Israeli lobbies throughout the world. Why are you doing? Why are you pushing it? People don't actually know. And many people don't know. There was a group of friends of mine who stood outside one of these companies in the UK, and Muslims would walk in, they would give them a leaflet. That this is what this company does. When a Muslim would read it, say, we didn't know this, and they would walk away from that company. People, like I think Sayyid Mohsin mentioned, the people are not educated, people don't know, people don't want to know sometimes. But when you inform them about something, they will make an educated decision. People are not, you know, just like of a fools, or they're not, you know, uneducated. People know, if you just tell them, you know, this is clear, right and wrong, then they'll be able to exceed quite clearly. And, you know, I think education is one, and then two, also the impact of what education can do is something that needs to be more focused on as well.
Inshallah, if the Muslim, we can say, Ummah, is woken up to their duties, you know, and the Islamic scholars especially, you know, because sometimes the ordinary people and the public, they are not guilty. This is the problem from the side of the scholars and the ulama of a society, to get them awakened, to rise against oppression, to feel responsible for the huquq of the mustazafin. And this is, I think, the true Islam that Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imam through movements were after. They were not after only praying or salat or psalm, you know, or reciting the whole Quran, you know, just reciting and reciting and reciting without practicing what are the contents of the ayahs. And I think all the Islamic schools can act against the same enemies that are around the world in order to guarantee the honor and the independence of the Muslim nations. I think this is really important. And all the Islamic countries must feel responsible in this case, I think. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser Ibrahim and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. Inshallah, one day Palestine will be free, Yemen will be free, Syria, and all the countries, you know, who are under the clangs and the oppressions of the oppressors, the zalimeen across the world, will be free, inshallah, one day. We pray for that day. Inshallah, may Allah hasten the reappearance of Imam al-Asr, Imam Mahdi Jalallah, who is really the true herald, the true pioneer, the true man who gonna establish society with the justice and social justice all around the world, inshallah. Thank you very much. For more information and to download for free, you can visit our website at parstoday.com/Yen Call of Islam page, also YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.